Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready, Keith?
I wasn't. I couldn't find my headphones.
I was going to say, you are not ready.
Normally you ask me.
I was absolutely not ready today. Couldn't find my headphones.
No, that's a shame.
Still more ready than the Bruins were last night.
They were not ready. They should maybe play this song, like pregame or in the locker room or something.
You think that
can't
help
hurt?
Them?
Oh, I can't hurt.
It can't hurt. This is true.
They're trying just about everything else. I think they've had every line combination possible. Whatever the max number of line combinations, I think they've hit it.
This is far from
This
is far from the lead, but who was that scrub they called up last night just to like beat people up? Who was that guy?
He threw some hands.
He did. Who was that guy?
He threw some hands a little bit.
VL? What was his name?
Yeah. Like, Johnny Vitti from the Penguin series.
You start calling guys like that up, you know you're in a
Jeffrey
little bit of trouble.
Jeffrey VL, I think it was.
VL?
Vial.
I mean, I saw that guy out there. They're like, oh, he had a lot of penalty minutes in the queue. I'm like, great. This is where the Bruins are at. So they lose 5-1 last night. 3-0 in the first period. Shorthanded goal against in the first period. They get to 3-1. Two-goal lead, Keith. I don't know if you've heard this. It's the most dangerous lead in sports.
I know Columbus was scared.
They were terrified. You're up two. You're in trouble. That's what hockey people tell me.
So you would rather
be up one than up two.
You know what they decided to do?
You want to be down two.
Neat trick. They're up two. They're like, let's score shorthanded.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
That felt like the backbreaker last night. Lorai's doing God knows what. At the blue line, Columbus skates out the other way. It's 4-1. Next thing you know, it's 5-1. All five goals are with Jeremy Swayman in net.
Tough start for your guy, Swayman.
Which guy was that? Oh, Jeremy Swayman. Oh, I have trouble keeping track of my guys.
You have a lot of guys. No, Jeremy Swayman has struggled a little bit. The team has struggled quite a bit. That's the other thing, too, is Columbus, not great. We were talking about when they were struggling against St. Louis, and they were giving up St. Louis power play goals. You're like, the Blues don't score on the power play until they play the Bruins. Then they're fine. Columbus has not been very good at all.
No.
They've been bad all season. They've been particularly bad this month.
So they've won 2 of 3, Keith. But prior to that, they had lost six
in a row. They lost
seven out of eight.
Yeah. So that was not a great squad. And you're thinking, all right, the Bruins have their backs kind of against it at this point. I mean, if the seat for Jim Montgomery isn't on fire at this point, I don't know what else to say. And they've been trying everything and nothing. They're not scoring goals. Let's oversimplify things for a moment, Jones.
Yeah.
The Bruins aren't scoring goals.
Right.
They're also giving up a lot of goals.
Seems like a bad combo.
Combination has been rough.
It has not been good. That's true. So anyway, they're playing guys.
Where you simply need to outscore the other team.
See, this is where I agree with that completely. Yeah. And they haven't been able to do it.
That is not faulty logic.
No.
So they have
five total goals in the last three games, and they've allowed 15.
Yeah. Whoops. Problematic. Ooh, so you're calling up guys I've never heard of, which, you know, I'm not exactly
desperate
the biggest puckhead out there.
Measures.
But you're calling up guys who I've never heard of. You are losing before you can even sit down.
Yep.
You're giving up multiple shorthanded goals. It's not just power play goals against for Jeremy Swayman. He's giving them up even strength. He's giving them up shorthanded. And so what are you supposed to do? Like, what are you supposed to do if you're the Bruins? And does Jim Montgomery getting fired solve everything? I don't think so.
No.
But I can't believe he's still employed at this point in time. In all honesty, Keith, we've been saying this about
I think I know why.
The Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson.
I can't believe
he's still employed. Why? Why is he still employed?
I think I got it. So they didn't fire him during the election. They didn't fire him versus Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. They didn't fire him Sunday against Patriots, Rams.
Yep.
You had a big Celtics game tonight. Celtics, Cavs.
You actually do.
He might get fired at 7:10 or 7:10 tonight or 7:10.
7:10.
He might get fired right around tip-off tonight. Would you rule that out? I wouldn't. This is the same franchise that fired Klobe during a Patriots parade, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
So do they want us all day long talking about how they're blaming everything on Montgomery? Because I've never been the biggest Montgomery fan, and part of it was I really like Bruce Cassidy. I really like Bruce Cassidy, didn't think he should be fired, and Montgomery had that great regular season, then lost in the playoffs, and we all know what his resume looks like. But to just scapegoat him, it'd be classic hockey, right? Like NHL teams do this all the time. Oh, slow start, fire the coach. Oh, we thought we'd be a little bit better than this, fire the coach. Even though I think it's got more to do with the players. I don't think the players across the board on paper are that bad. This is the thing people are arguing about all the time. They're like, oh, blame Sweeney for this horrible roster. Blame Montgomery because he's not getting the most out of these guys. Blame the play. I think the players top to bottom are a lot better than this. Shouldn't Swayman be better? Shouldn't Pasternak be better? Shouldn't Marchand be better? Shouldn't McAvoy be better?
Yes.
Those are four good players. Mm-hmm. Like, I would think those are four guys that almost every team in the league would want and would be either their starting goalie, top pair defenseman, top line guys. And they can't score goals. They can't kill off penalties. Like, they've just been a mess. They can't get out of their own way most nights. And so, yeah, I think ultimately they will fire Montgomery because you can't change the entire roster right now. I don't think it's all his fault. But as much as I say that, if I think the roster's pretty good, all right, maybe the coach needs to do something.
Yeah.
And maybe just a change of voice in there could possibly help.
The team needs to be shaken awake. And so how do you do that? You fire the coach. But I'm with you, Keith. That doesn't solve everything. You don't fire Jim Montgomery, I don't think, and rip off 5-6 wins in a row and work your way back firmly into the playoff picture. And all of a sudden, you flip a switch and you're a different team. All of a sudden, Jeremy Swayman keeps the puck out of the net. All of a sudden, David Pastrnak gets shots on goal. I don't necessarily think all those things, although the shots on goal thing maybe, just to shake the team awake. But it's something you have to do at this point in time. So why haven't they done it? Are we on borrowed time with Jim Montgomery? You can jump in there, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's a busy, busy day on the show, as it always is, on Tuesdays. We have Tier Tuesday coming up at 11:20. We'll tier off the top teams and bottom teams in the NFL. It's a Tommy E Tuesday.
All right.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston at high noon. We'll get to the Patriots later on in the program today. We got Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Mm-hmm. Good one planned here today, as always. And, of course, it's a D'Angelo's Tuesday.
Yes.
Which means we're usually a little happier and a little more positive,
can't
be.
Hard to be with the Bruins.
All due respect to D'Angelo's, it's a little difficult to be positive today, but imagine how negative we'd be.
Good point.
If we weren't getting lunch later on.
It softens the blow a little bit.
Yeah,
so
really
the Bruins
does.
Are fortunate because of that.
It does take
Although,
the edge
I'm sure we'll be positive about Drake May, as our callers said, we're cheerleaders for Drake May. So
that's
I'm
a good
sure
point.
Once we start talking about him, we'll
That's a good
forget.
Point. So a lot of ways you can get in touch. 617-779-7937. You can text the program at 37937. Interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can follow along and chat. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Healthy chat there.
I got a couple stats.
And watch on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. Yeah, stat me.
Brian DeFelice, who is part of the skate pod here on WEEI and WEEI.com, he tweeted these out last night. The Bruins' goal totals in each of their last 15 games.
Let's hear it.
Well, I'm not going to read all the numbers, but basically it's 1.86 goals per game, which is...
Less than two.
32nd. Out of 32 teams.
Not great.
15 games, decent sample.
Yeah.
He also says the Bruins are now a minus 21 in goal differential.
Also
which ranks 30th in the league.
Okay. Not great, Bob.
32 teams, so that's not bottom.
So, no.
It's down there.
Now, they've played the most games in the NHL. So, tied with a couple other teams. Not everybody's played 20 games yet. Devils have played 21. I take it back. They've played more than most, right? So the Rangers have played 16 games. Mm-hmm. Right now the Bruins, believe it or not, are a playoff team. It doesn't feel like it. Now
They got games in hand.
They got a lot of games in hand.
The rest of the league has games out of hand.
They got games out of hand.
Yeah,
teams like the Islanders and the Flyers and the Senators, I guess, could pass them by. But it is amazing. It maybe sort of speaks to where the league's at, where you have some teams that are kind of top heavy, and then you got everybody else in there still clawing around. So I guess the point would be for the Bruins, do they feel like, hey, if we fire Montgomery and get a little shot in the arm, is that enough to sort of save this season and, you know, make sure they're a playoff team? Because they've played...
It's worth a try, for God's sakes.
They've played a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Right. And what's the... They always say, like, you know, by the end of November, like, those playoff teams usually kind of, like, stay in the playoffs.
Thanksgiving, the standings usually lock. Yeah. You know, it's hard to make up because it's the stupidest sport where you get a point, even in a loss. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to make up point differential at a certain point in time.
Right.
So rewarding loser teams is a bad formula, but it's the formula.
Well,
it's how the league works.
Kind of saved them a little bit.
And so it's hard to catch up, but you're right. It has saved them to a degree.
For their last five games, they've lost, but two of them were in overtime. So it's not like you're going pointless.
So here's where I think it shakes them awake a little bit. I saw Haggerty tweeting about this during the game last night. I thought it was a good point. I think he did it after the second period. He's like, eight guys have zero shots on goal. It ended up six.
Okay.
Here are the names. Okay, Johnny Beecher, fourth liner.
Yeah.
Jeffrey VL. Scrub, yeah, I never heard of. He's up here to fight.
I don't think that guy had a stick last night, so he's probably not going to shoot.
What are you doing? Brandon Carlo, Mason Lorai.
Carlo's not great.
Pepper a couple on net, for God's sake. Oh, Carlo on the first goal was brutal. Just brutal. Kicking it into the goal, but like doing nothing. Lorai on the second shorthanded goal. Yes, there were two last night. Who knows what the hell he was doing?
Two shorthanded goals.
Two defensemen and two depth forwards. Fine, they have no shots on goal. Pavel Zacha, zero shots on goal, minus two.
Yeah.
And then here's the coup de grace. David Pastrnak, zero shots on goal. He had two total shots, zero on goal. So,
and it's funny because the other night,
you gotta shake the team awake. You do that by firing the coach.
When, I mean, that's fine. I do think the players have really let him down.
It doesn't fix everything, like it puts the onus back on the players. Where right now everybody's yelling about Montgomery. That's what we're doing.
But Monty,
but if you fire him now, we start yelling about David Pastrnak getting zero shots on goal.
Now, I'm not the biggest Monty fan, like I said. However, he has tried to push the buttons on some of his top guys. Like, he sat Pastrnak for a whole period. Yep. He literally pushed Marchand, and he's made Swayman just wear some of these horrible
performances. He's hung out Swayman for 12 goals in the last. Yeah. He has not sat him down in games normally bench your goalie.
Last night, yeah, if everything is equal, last night that goalie gets sat down.
Yeah, and definitely the game before where he gave up seven.
For sure in the game before. He made a comment the other night. Pastrnak finally scored a goal, right? He's had like one goal in like eight games or whatever it is. And in the post game, he's been very prickly. Like, Montgomery's just waiting to be fired. I think every time he talks to anybody above him, he's just waiting to be fired. Mm-hmm. And so you've noticed like a shift in his post game press conferences. He's like real short. And he's just like, yeah, I don't know. You guys figure it out. Okay, that kind of thing. He had a comment when Pastrnak scored his goal. He's like, yeah, if I had a shot like that, I'd do it every game. Like a little like zinger to him. Yep. And you're like, Pastrnak's like, oh yeah, every game? Not the next one.
Yeah,
not the next one.
I'm going to tap right out. And so you mentioned Montgomery. You tell me how Montgomery's feeling about his goalie, and if there's an issue with Jeremy Swayman, who has been brutal. As we told you before, I mean, I thought Korpisalo would be better than Ullmark. Korpisalo's been better than Swayman. Swayman's been terrible. 12 goals in the last two games, and it's not a whole bunch of power play goals like it was early in the year. You know, we talked to Razor. Oh, well, you know, even strength, they're pretty good, but the power play goals are a problem. Well, he's giving up shorties.
What about
he's giving up goals at even strength.
Exactly.
There was a penalty shot in the Dallas game, but largely these are even strength goals he's giving up. And you know it. He doesn't look like the same guy, and it makes sense. He came in late. So Montgomery was asked about it, and Keith, you pointed this out. It's a bit of a leading question. He's asked about not having a training camp. Here's Montgomery. Listen to this wacko. Here's Montgomery after the game.
I don't think missing training camp helps anyone. That's why you have training camps. You know, the only guy I've seen, Jim Raines with the Expos, as an Expos fan, he missed the first month because I don't know, if you didn't sign by a certain date yet. And I think he went 3-for-4 with two home runs and five RBIs his first game back against the Mets. So, I mean, that's a different sport. I think it's, it's tough to get the rhythm and the expectation. But by no means do I think today is Jeremy Swayman not having training camp. We're long into that now.
Okay, he kind of walked it back a little bit.
Where
but
was he doing that from, the lunar module?
I had trouble finding clean audio there, so yeah, I don't know why. Maybe the Bruins have buried all their audio.
Good reference.
Maybe for good reason.
Baseball team that doesn't exist for a guy who hasn't played in 30 years.
Rock Raines reference in there. Rock Raines, the only guy I know who didn't miss training
camp. With the Expos from 79 to 90.
Correct. So that was probably like the 80s.
Wow, he was there that
season.
He was there that long. Rock Raines.
Hall of Famer.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
In the Hall of Fame.
He should not be. Maybe in your giant Hall of Fame over there, not in a small hall.
Well, it took sports writers years and years and years to figure out certain statistical measures, could have been allowed back then, but they didn't really. Like, wait a minute. The numbers now say he's good. Yeah, I didn't see it in real time, but
Rock Raines was the Canadian equivalent of Jim Rice. Yes.
So besides Rock Raines, most people need a training camp.
That's what he
Swayman
said.
Swayman needs a training camp.
Do you take that as criticism? Does he sound frustrated, flustered at all, or was that just a leading question he's just answering?
I do think it was a leading question, to be honest. I think for the 20 games this season, there's been plenty of times where I thought he could have buried Swayman, and he didn't, and he buried the defense. Going back to the opening night, I feel like he blamed, or Swayman's opening night, which was the second night because he wasn't ready to start the first game because
he didn't have a training camp.
In a
he's not
contract
Rock
negotiation, and he's not Rock Raines. But I think it was sort of like, you know, I don't think he'd be being honest if he was like, nope, training camp means nothing. Because what does that say? Now the rest of your players are like, training camp means nothing? Like, why are we even doing it? So I think it was somewhat leading. But I do feel like this season got off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest stories in the offseason was Swayman's contract. So I don't know how the two can't be connected a little bit.
Yeah, I would connect them. Swayman on the
year. I mean, but Pastrnak doesn't suck because of Swayman or Charlie Coyle. I was looking up this stat. How about this first stat? So they've played a quarter of the games.
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily project what the stats would be. Do you know how many assists Charlie Coyle is on pace for this year?
10.
Seven!
No, that's too much. Too much, Joe.
Four. That's not going to get it done.
He has one assist in 20 games.
Yikes.
Like, what is that?
Yeah, it's not good. So Jeremy Swayman this year, it is now 14 starts after last night. He's 5-9. I count overtime losses as losses. They're losses.
Yeah.
I know you get points, but they're losses. He's 5-9. 3.47 goals against.
That's not good enough.
8.84 save percentage. He has given up in his 14 starts. 6 times. He has given up 4 or more goals. So, like, it's not just that he's having a poor start. He's getting his head caved in some of these games.
So he wanted to be paid like a top 5 goalie in the league. Maybe even he wanted to be paid like a top 3 goalie.
Yes.
He ranks goals against so far this season 47th.
And he said top 5, he meant top 50.
Yeah, save percentage 46th. So slightly better in save percentage. But, he's been bad. I mean, I don't know any other way to slice it. I know early on there's definitely a little bit of the, well, how many power play goals is he going to stop, that kind of thing. But you are paying him a lot of money.
Yes.
You and I both wanted to pay him. We both thought you could pay him. But with that said, you have to be a Vezina candidate. And we didn't think it was that crazy to think.
Yeah, no. If Swayman played the way he played last year, I think he's worth the contract. But if he's playing like this, of course he's not worth it. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. What's wrong with the Bruins? How do you fix it? Does it go beyond just the head coach? How big of an issue is Jeremy Swayman with this team right now? Are you regretting that contract? And what do you do with Jim Montgomery? Keith thinks they're going to wait till the Celtics game. Celtics and Cavs tonight. NBA Cup. That'd be a good time to fire him. Our guy Ray on Twitter. Always very friendly. At Jones and Keefe, at Jones WEEI, at Keefe 21. Only morons are blaming Monty. It's the talent, guys. Wake up. So do you agree with Ray? Is Montgomery the problem? To me, he's not the only issue, but that's an easy one to fix.
It's the most
obvious. So get him out of here.
Yeah. And then from there, see what happens.
Yeah, and if you want to do it during the Celtics game tonight, that's fine.
They probably will.
We're not going to talk Bruins all day. We have Patriots thoughts coming up. As we said, Tommy Curran, a Tommy Tuesday at high noon. We'll do Tier Tuesday at 11:20. We're going to get to the Celtics, the aforementioned Celtics. NBA Cup tonight against the undefeated Cavs. Woo! How big of a threat is Cleveland? We'll get to that with all your Bruins thoughts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The chance at the last shot at the end of regulation, and Tatum missed it. He's got the ball now. 10 seconds left in overtime. Abaji defends. Brown pushed down by Mitchell. No foul. Tatum's got to go in a hurry. He pulls up. Yes!
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a busy day. Talked a lot of Bruins. We'll get to the Celtics. Jason Tatum, clutch shot the other night. I mean, it was the Raptors. In November, he missed a shot at the end of regulation. He did travel leading up to it, but it was
game winner. Jones goes down the books as the game winner.
A clutch shot from Jason Tatum. That's not just me calling it a travel, by the way. That was the NBA.
No, I understand that.
But in their final 2-minute report,
I checked the standings, though. They still gave him the win.
They did.
Yep.
If you check the standings, you'll note there's one team above the Celtics in the East. That's the undefeated Cavs.
How about them?
Celtics get them tonight. In the NBA Cup. We'll get to that with all your Bruins phone calls at 617-779-7937. Busy day today. Tier Tuesday, about an hour from now. Less than that, actually. We'll tier off all the top and bottom teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Tommy Tuesday. We'll talk Patriots with Tom E. Curran. What's the latest on Drob Mayo's status, Alex Van Pelt's status, Drake May, and his development. We'll get to all that coming up. And, of course, Kiefer Madness at 1245. On the Celtics, I'm going to ask this. Keefe, I know your answer. since you felt this way in the offseason. You and Brad Stevens were the two on their own iceberg there.
If only somebody could have predicted the Cavs were going to be good. If only.
So, well, maybe there's some nuance to the question, because you thought the Cavs were the second best team in the East to the Celtics, as did Brad Stevens, as we found out in the GM survey in the offseason. You couldn't vote for your own team. He voted for the Cavs to win the East. There was only one person to do it. It had to have been him, because he couldn't vote for his team. Everyone else voted for the Celtics, 29-1.
Terp sniffed that out.
Terp sniffed that out. It was a great observation by Terp. Speaking of Terp, by the way, we're going to talk to Terp at 1 o'clock today.
Hell yeah.
More Celtics talk later today on Jones and Keefe. How much more can you handle, really, on this show?
I don't know.
So you think they're the second best team in the East. And right now, in some ways you were right, other ways you were wrong about it. They're the best team in the East.
Yeah, touche.
Are they a real threat to the Celtics, though? Not just best team. Are they a real threat?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Like, I don't know. So I think they're better than everybody else. But, like, look at the state that Milwaukee and Philly are in. And I don't think
Philly 2-11. They lost again last night, didn't they?
Yeah, they blow.
They're 2-11.
Their guys are never healthy. And so I didn't think either team would be good, but I thought they'd both be playoff teams.
Philly is 2-11. They are tied for the worst record in the league with Washington.
So Philly and Milwaukee right now wouldn't be in the 10-team playoff.
Correct.
Now, they're 15 games into the season, but still, like, that they're that bad.
Yep.
So, no, Cleveland, to me, feels like in the heyday of the NBA, or, like, any year that you find where there are a number of really good teams, they would be a really, really, like, good team that you would play in the first round, or maybe, like, a second-round opponent. Like, doesn't they feel more like the Dominique Wilkins Hawks or, like, young Jordan Bulls?
Yep.
Like, they don't feel, to me, like a true contender.
It's
Donovan
Mitchell and a bunch of nice players, not Donovan Mitchell and another stud.
No, they have one legitimate all-star, and he's great, and he might be able to win you a game. Like, he might be able to win a game in a series.
He is specific. I mean, Celtics fans know. He has beaten you many times.
Yeah, he is one of the guys that, you know, maybe should be brought up even more when we're talking about, like, final couple minutes of a game, like, who you'd be scared of.
Yeah.
Obviously, Curry is sort of up there at the top, but
Celtics fans,
badass.
You've seen him take over games against the Celtics, so he's incredible. The other guys are all, to me, just nice players. Darius Garland has been an all-star. Nah.
Yeah, I guess that's a weird one, but he's good.
Evan Mobley, people in the league really like. Eh.
I think
Jared
Allen,
good. But
the combination of them, it's big, so it's like different matchups. So if you do face them in a seven-game series and you don't have Porzingis and you have those two guys, it puts more pressure on Horford. My guy, Kata, is going to have to play a little bit more and play well, because, like, those are two legitimate big guys, right? But even still, I like the Celtics big time in a series there. But it also, I think it speaks to the state of the Eastern Conference. If you tell me Cleveland versus anybody else in a seven-game series, I'm taking Cleveland. But then once they play the Celtics, I'm like, no, I don't really think it's much of a debate.
So they are not a real threat to the Celtics tonight.
Do you think they are?
I don't.
Oh, no, tonight they are.
No, I'm saying
they're not, one-off.
They're not a real threat to the Celtics in the East, big picture.
I don't think so.
In a series against a seven-game series against the Celtics, how many games are you giving Cleveland?
One.
Yeah.
Maybe two, like if Mitchell goes crazy, has like a 50-point game or something. But but
that sounds right to me. It's like a competitive gentleman sweep.
But this is how good I think the Celtics are compared to the rest of the East, where every other series I would probably say sweep. Like, that's just, I think, you know, if you want to fast forward all the way to the NBA Finals, I think that's where you get yourself a really good match. Whoever emerges from the West is going to be a really good challenger. But in the East, you know, it's kind of fallen apart because Milwaukee, which won the title just a couple years ago, and then they thought they got better by adding Lillard, haven't. And then the Sixers are just a joke with all their injuries. Maybe the Knicks end up being something, but even then, I would look at that as if the Knicks put it together. I know Towns is playing a lot better than he did, like when the Celtics played him opening night, and he's fitting in a little bit better. But if it was Knicks-Cavs, that's a fun series.
Yeah.
That might go 6-7 games. But then whoever wins that, I really don't think is going to be able to play with the Celtics.
Healthy Jalen Brunson, the Knicks win that series last year, is what I would think.
Or was against that Knicks? The Celtics?
I'm sorry. No. Against the two of them. I thought.
Yes. Oh, right.
Maybe that was the Pacers series, actually, where he got hurt.
No, it was, because Brunson and Halliburton have a good feud. Yeah.
So you look at the Cavs. They're 15-0. And so maybe we're being too dismissive. We're like, gentlemen sweep five-game series. They're 15-0.
Yeah.
They do have good wins. I mean, New York is 8-6. They beat New York in New York. The Lakers are 9-4. They smoked the Lakers.
Yep.
Their best win is Golden State. They put up 136 against Golden State. You lost to Golden State.
Now, that was, I believe, 2 days after the Warriors beat the Celtics.
Yeah, but it wasn't a back-to-back.
No. But don't you think the Warriors are probably feeling pretty good about the Celtics win? So that happens a lot in the NBA. I mean, I give Cleveland credit. That is a real win.
They beat the Warriors. Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's one for one. And you lost to the Warriors at home. And they beat them at home. So, yeah, maybe we're being too dismissive, but I got to see it tonight.
No, but when you look at their roster.
Can tonight change your mind at all?
I guess. I mean, let's see how it plays out.
How dominant would it look in a loss? Maybe, but I don't come in thinking much of Cleveland.
They're weird, too, because like on the one hand, we're talking about how like maybe Donovan Mitchell is good enough to win a game or two. But then last year, regular season, Donovan Mitchell wasn't even playing, and Dean Wade had a crazy game, and they beat the Celtics in the regular season without Mitchell. But like that's not sustainable. Like you're not going to be able to win multiple games that way. Even with Mitchell, I don't think you win multiple games, but I do like them. And honestly, like Cleveland might be that team that, you know, proved, hey, maybe stick with what you have. Everybody else is like Knicks, Pacers, not the Pacers, the Knicks, the Bucks, and the Sixers all made these dramatic moves to try to compete with the Celtics, where the Cavs are like, let's run it back.
Let me give you this. If the Celtics lose, I know you don't care about this, but if they lose, they're 0-2 in the NBA Cup, Keith. So kiss the NBA Cup goodbye.
They won't have to play that extra game. Maybe the Cavs end up playing that extra game.
So you're rooting for them to lose?
No, not yet, because they still could win this one tonight, hand the Cavs their first loss, and also avoid having to play the 83rd game.
I want the Celtics to win anyway, but I want them to win in advance in the NBA Cup. You lose tonight,
also,
NBA Cup's
court.
Done. You're
cup
done.
Court's back tonight.
Yeah, I don't like their cup court.
Cup court.
Hard to follow.
Cup court is tough. I wonder if they're going to wear the same uniforms or they're going to wear different uniforms for the cup court.
I hope they wear the uniforms
they wore over
the weekend. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like those. I'm with Joe Mazzulla. I like those.
They do say Boston. What do you say? They say Celtics on them?
Yeah. So he likes them.
That's cool.
Let's get to your phone call. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Celtics. Huge game tonight. You can still discuss the Bruins. Lottie waiting patiently on the Bruins. Awful game last night. We got a countdown to Jim Montgomery getting fired, maybe during the Celtics game tonight.
Probably around tip-off.
Derek is up in the great state of Vermont. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey guys. I just want to say I'm from Vermont, so I'm from the southern part. I know you're
Northern Massachusetts.
Hang up on this guy.
Northern Massachusetts is what we call that, Derek. But, yeah. Keep going.
Excuse me. But I just want to agree with Keith in the fact that I definitely liked Cassidy, and definitely firing Montgomery would be a good idea. And I'll leave you with that.
Okay. All right. I don't know if I went so far as to say it would be a good idea. I think it might be their only idea for right now. Right? Like, I think by saying you want the coach fired kind of implies that you think he's the reason why they stink. Like, he's not the reason
he's
they stink.
A reason.
He's a reason.
He may not be the reason, but he's a reason.
And he's also not under contract for next year.
Yeah.
Right? It's not as drastic as trading, like, a big piece off your team or bringing in a player. It's kind of the next logical step when the team is not anywhere near to expectation. So I think he's going to be gone. But
you fire the coach now.
Yeah.
You try to spark the team. If you don't, you hit the trade deadline. Maybe you're selling. If you turn things around, maybe you're buying. But then you start sending a message to the players at the trade deadline. Now is the time to fire your coach. If you're going to do it, I can't believe they haven't done it.
Do you just promote a dude that's on the staff?
Yeah,
now?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know,
Chris Kelly. You got it, dude.
Jay Leach. Joe Sacco. Like, I mean, it's not about who you're bringing in. It's about who you're getting rid of. Matt is in Rhode Island on the Celtics. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? I believe it was last week. When you did that interview with Turf, he was on a Greyhound bus. Going. That was one of the best things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That was, shout out to Turf.
Yeah, yeah, dude works hard.
But tonight,
Turf at 1 o'clock in studio. Not on the bus.
No doubt. Have you seen Cleveland this year with their points that they're putting up? It's pretty insane. I know last year, the Celtics, you know, started the trend with a three-point shot. Now, like, 10 teams take as many three-pointers as that. But as it goes tonight, like, I guess Payton Pritchard might be out, but a guy like that kind of that coming off the bench is huge when you're playing Cleveland because they're trying to run you out the building. All right, thanks.
Okay. I mean, look, they absolutely can score. I mentioned they put up 136 against Golden State.
Yeah.
I was just looking up, where do they rank in terms of, it could be a good contrast in styles tonight, depending on where they rank. Where is Cleveland in terms of 3 points attempted?
Ooh.
Where are they at? Looking at, they're middle of the pack.
Are they firing up enough
Celtics threes? Are a league high 51 per game.
But the thing is,
there are maybe 5-6 teams north of 40. Cleveland is right in the middle of the pack. They attempt 37 a game, so 14 more for the Celtics. Good contrast in styles.
And so basically, you know, Jared Allen is the one guy that won't shoot him. Everybody else will
Mobley,
be bombs
Mobley
away.
Will launch him. Mobley Garland, will take him. Garland has just no soul when it comes to launching threes.
No, but he's hitting
Mitchell
them.
Will do it. No, he
Mitchell
is.
Mitchell and Garland are both hitting at a great clip so far this year.
LeVert's a gunner.
Oh, yeah. Everybody else will take him for sure.
617-779-7937. You can jump in. Celtics and Bruins. That's how we started on the program today. Big game for the Celtics tonight. Ugly one for the Bruins last night. And, speaking of ugly, I don't think things are going well for the Red Sox
in the
Juan Soto sweepstakes. I'm not liking the updates of late, Keith. Are they still in? Are they out on Juan Soto? That's next.
Question I have for the Red Sox is, one, they're already deep in left-handed hitting. Now, granted, there's only one Juan Soto, and he is unique among left-handed hitters. And if you can get him, you figure out the rest. The bigger issue for the Red Sox, though, is they need starting pitching. This is a team that has a clear and obvious deficiency, and that's where it is. They've got all these position prospects coming. They're in really good shape overall. So I can see them trading for a starting pitcher, maybe Crochet. I can see them signing a starting pitcher. Fried or Snell would be ideal. I can see that more logically than signing Juan Soto, unless you're planning to do those other things too.
Ken Rosenthal on the Red Sox and Juan Soto. He kind of saved it at the end, but I don't get that logic. Well, you got a lot of lefties. And he said, you go get Juan Soto, but you got a lot of lefties.
Get a lot of lefties, okay.
And you need starting pitching. I have a solution for you.
Get all of it.
Sign Juan Soto and then trade some of your other logjam of lefties for starting pitching. And then you can do both, which
Weird.
He acknowledged at the end. But like that to me is a simple fix. I'm not worried about the pitching and the left-handed hitting when I can get one of the best positional players, one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
It's insane. Like the old, where are we going to play Willie McGee? Like
yes.
That kind of thing. But it's crazier when Juan Soto is, one of the five best players? Put pitchers aside for a second. For like the point of ranking things.
Positional players? Top three.
Ohtani, Judge, Mookie Betts.
Yeah, okay, so you're right. Maybe top five.
But like Soto, yeah. I mean, Henderson and Witt, like you have some good players, but like he's right up there. And when you throw in the fact that he's smack dab in his prime. You don't worry about
the one. He's won. And he just went to a World Series.
Yeah,
he's won before.
That.
I don't love that he's going to be on his fourth team likely.
I think it's sort of a weird set of circumstances to why he's been on four teams.
If I'm going to nitpick, I don't love it. But yeah, he's in his sleep, you know, a top 10 player in baseball and a top 5 player in baseball.
So you don't look at the rest of your lineup and you're like, well, we got Willy Abreu and we got, you know, Yoshida.
No.
It's like, oh yeah, so you can't bring in Juan Soto because you have Yoshida and Abreu?
And so the lefty thing makes no sense. The starting pitching thing also makes no sense because if you sign Soto,
you can do both.
Now you have a ton of guys you can trade for starting pitching.
And it softens the blow because right now there's also a scenario where they don't get Soto, a likely scenario, but where they just trade some prospects for a pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, wait a minute. Now we lost some of the lefties. We didn't add a middle of the order bat, or you know, number two in the order bat.
This is why I'm afraid to trade Cassis. If you're telling me they're trading Willy Abreu, I don't care.
Yeah,
there are some reports that Willy Abreu would be the centerpiece for Crochet.
Rookie of the year snub. Willy Abreu.
Rookie of the year snub, but he is a Gold Glover.
True.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a finalist for Rookie of the Year.
There are some reports he could be the centerpiece for Crochet. I do that yesterday.
Bye.
But like, I'm a little afraid of trading Cassis for that exact reason. It's like, oh, so now I made my lineup that much worse. I didn't get a guy like Soto, and now, great, we got some pitching, but where's the lineup?
Yeah, no, you can't do it that way. You need to make sure that you, because there's also free agent pitchers available. That's the other part.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Logan Gilbert's great. I would take Logan Gilbert, but there are also free agent pitchers available. So if you don't just spend money on Soto, you could just spend money on pitching, and you don't have to trade away, you know, two of your top prospects.
So here's where things stand. This is Mark Feinstein, MLB.com. He says Juan Soto scheduled to meet with the Yankees and the Dodgers this week. He adds the feeling around the industry is that Soto will make his final decision on where to take his generational talent prior to the winter meetings, which begin on December 9th.
Really? You think we'll know before Christmas?
That's what he says.
I hope so.
He also
Scott
notes,
Scott Boris would be like, we got all the time in the world.
He's like, let's take this out
Juan,
until,
we can wait till March,
spring training.
April.
He also notes that Soto has already met with the Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Mets. Mets and Yankees remain the favorite, but it sounds like the Blue Jays and Red Sox could be legitimate alternatives at this juncture. So there's a lot of qualifiers.
So they're an alternative?
Well, they could be.
It could be an alternative.
At this juncture.
Have you lowered your number? I was at 0% chance for Juan Soto. You, I think, were as high as 10%.
I went from 10 to 9. I had a moment of weakness. I went down to 9. I went back to 10. I'm staying.
Okay.
I'm sticking.
Stay. Yeah, so that's good stuff you just read there. That's that's positive in the Juan Soto pursuit.
I like it. Jesse Rogers also polled what he says are 18 MLB team executives and baseball insiders. So is that like a combo
Wait
of executives and and like .com writers?
Yeah.
I don't quite know what that means.
It's like we talked to Craig Breslow and Rob Bradford. Okay, I guess. Yeah, I mean, for this, you know.
That's just a strange combo.
And a 18, couple of baseball fans.
18 team executives and baseball insiders. Right. I don't quite know what that means.
So 18 baseball people.
Yeah. Will Juan Soto get more than $600 million?
I would say yes.
11 out of the 18 said yes. He will get greater than $600 million. I don't know if that bodes well for the Red Sox.
I was going to say 11, so but there are still what?
7 say he won't.
Yeah.
Who will he sign with? 12 said the Yankees.
Yeah.
4 said the Mets. I honestly would flip those. I would assume more people would say the Mets than the Yankees. 2 say the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays? The Blue Jays are going to sign Juan Soto?
Zero say the Red Sox.
If Juan Soto ends up on the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. he will end up on 6 teams in 6 years or whatever it is. I don't think he's going to be in the Blue Jays for long. They're going to try it. No. It's not going to work.
They won't play Vlad.
Yeah.
I can't talk.
Yeah.
But they'll pay Soto?
They won't play
like $300 million. I got that actually.
Yeah.
No, they won't play.
It feels like the Blue Jays. It feels like the Blue Jays just get used.
Take a lap. Get your as soon as your D'Angelo sub shows up.
Well, I saw your tweet about D'Angelo, so I was just watching it. Now
I'm tweeting about it. Right. I'm excited.
How does it feel?
I think
it feels like they get used though. Like they got used on Otani. Maybe they're getting used on Soto as well.
Yeah, probably. But they're getting used even more than the Red Sox. The Red Sox aren't even getting used that much. Nobody.
No, the Red Sox are using their fans.
Correct.
The Blue Jays are getting used. There's a difference.
So do they have a plan B, the Red Sox?
No, probably not.
Because that's
like a good one, probably.
Because that's what's kind of frustrating. And I know you don't want to just throw bad money out there.
Who do you think their plan B is? Burns? Fried?
No.
Sasaki?
No, I don't think they have one.
Yeah, I don't really either.
But last year, they were, according to reports, willing to throw Yamamoto $300 million, right?
Well, I don't know if it was that
was
much,
report.
But they were, it was reported they would pay $300 million?
I thought so.
I knew it was reported they were going to go full throttle.
But then they didn't like spend, then they were like, oh, we'll give 18 to Lucas Giolito. Mm-hmm. You're like, wait a minute, there's a big gap there. So if they're willing to spend $600 million on Juan Soto, I think, didn't Bradford actually say that? Bradford thinks that they would. So $600 million on Soto. Like, sorry, he signs with the Mets. Oh, okay. What are you going to do with it? Nothing. We're just going to pocket it.
No, we're just going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
That's why they're shopping for the Tommy John guys. That's why they're on Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
Yeah, find me a guy who's on the shelf for the whole year. They did that. They've done that so many times. It's insane.
It is. It's not
James
great.
Paxton, Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
Who was the other guy they had? They had another guy.
They've all worked out so well.
They've been nails.
Yeah. I can see why they want to do that. 617-779-7937. Our buddy Mark in Medford's waiting patiently on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys.
Yep.
So I'm going to admit I've been in denial. I've been saying to myself, are the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman this bad? And I kept on saying they can't be. And then last night, reality slapped me in the face and said, you're an idiot. They are this bad, and Jeremy Swayman is a fraud. Okay, but I have a question, guys.
Oh, okay.
Who gets fired first? Is it Jim Montgomery of the Bruins, or is it Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, Montgomery. No contest.
Oh, Montgomery,
Jerry Jones came out last night and said, again, we are not firing Mike McCarthy.
No, McCarthy's going to survive the season because of the Dak Prescott thing.
Yeah.
If Dak Prescott was still there and they lost that bad, then I think McCarthy might get fired in season. But Jerry doesn't do that.
Nope.
Jerry's going to hold on to his guys. The stadium's falling apart, too.
I did see that. Stadium's falling apart.
No, Montgomery doesn't have – he might not have the day.
We said earlier, Montgomery or Peterson, I can't believe either one still has their job.
That's a good question.
Montgomery, Keith, you have a tip-off for the Celtics tonight. Is what time?
I think around 7:10. It's a TNT game. They say 7, but it's probably more like 7:10, 7:15.
Maybe 7:20. Montgomery gets the axe.
Yep.
Something like that.
Donovan Mitchell bringing down the court. Oh, by the way, on the ticker, Montgomery out. Son of a gun.
You got to look at the court. You're like, what am I even looking? I'm all disoriented. What am I even looking at with this NBA Cup court? And then the crawl says Jim Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably about right. 617-779-7937. You can jump in. Bruins, Celtics, some Red Sox offseason conversation. Doesn't seem to be going great in the Juan Soto
sweepstakes. No, not at all. I'm shocked.
Meanwhile, job security for Alex Van Pelt, probably also not so great. Let's get to that with all your phone calls next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.